When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the gang, the one you never asked to be a part of. You are listening to the Grief Gang podcast, the show dedicated to breaking down the taboos of grief, one conversation at a time, with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. Guys, today is Grief Gang's third birthday. It's official. I own a toddler. Time goes fast when you're grieving, right? No, actually it doesn't really, does it? To celebrate this milestone, because to be honest, I am totally extra and will create any excuse for a celebration or a party, I wanted to dedicate this week's episode to the journey of the Grief Gang. It's actually a bit mad. At the time of this episode that it will be released, I'm going to be in Denmark at the first international grief conference as a speaker. Now, that is something that if you told me 3 years ago, I would have said, get fucked. Therefore, my lovely friend Ben May, who is one half of the New Normal charity, who I'm sure you've heard me speak about here time and time again on the Instagram and the podcast, kindly interviewed me. That's right. Today, I am taking the guest seat. You, the Grief Gang audience, so kindly wrote in questions for Ben to ask me, and they are varied. You'll get a flavour for where this episode is going purely by the first question that is asked. Spicy, let me tell you that. I share on this episode what it's really been like for me over these 3 years to run and host the show and have such a wonderful community. What my hopes and dreams are for it and how it's affected and helped my own grief journey. We go all around the houses. So Grief Gang, honestly and truly, thank you for the most fulfilling and soul nurturing 3 years. You've mended my broken grieving heart in more ways than one and allowed me to do something that I love every single day. I get to share my mum with 1,000 and in turn, I get to know and honour your people too. It is forever the greatest gift out of something so terrible. So on this special day and across this weekend, because like I said, I'm extra and I'm dragging my friends out to celebrate all things me, we'll also be celebrating you and all of your people too, because you all make Grief Gang what it is today. Big love, thank you, and happy listening. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's Friday afternoon. I've got a cup of tea in front of me. In fact, it's not Friday afternoon. It's 5:10 on Friday.
I know. Well, actually, if we want to be really good, we could say, oh, no, it's Wednesday the 21st, because that's when this episode comes out.
Oh, was that?
It's not. Everyone knows I'm pre-recording. None of this. Do you think I have that tight turnaround to record on the day and then put it back out?
What series number is this, Amber?
This is season 4.
Wow.
Season four, I know. I can't believe really, well, yeah, given how long of, really, it should be like season six because I should have really divvied up season into an actual thing. But I know four seasons and I, do you know what, right? Like when I first started this, nothing's really changed. I still record it from my poxy bedroom. I've never upgraded to a fancy studio. Only when I've been on other people's podcasts do I get to go to the nice studios. Mm. I just go, yeah, I'm going to record it from my bedroom. And never in my mind or in my heart did I think when I just thought, fuck it, I'll start a podcast and just start chatting utter drivel. And when I listen back to the first episodes, and it's funny because they're the ones that people till this day message about and say, oh, this first episode or this the first series, like I love it so much because it was so raw. My God, honestly, it was so raw and I could still feel that pain in my voice, although I was still doing podcast voice and persona. Mm. Could still feel that pain of, and actually that like joy of like, oh my God, I've found something, one, that I really love, and two, it's helping me, and three, it is now beginning to help other people. And that when it started, it wasn't, everything that's come with it has all been part of a bonus. All I've ever wanted to do is just chat shit and talk about my mum and talk to other people about their mums, their dads, their children, their partners, their siblings, whoever it is, and have a laugh while we do it as well.
Focusing back on that rawness of the first series, you say when you go back and listen to those episodes yourself and you hear that rawness, is it a rawness of your grief, or is it a rawness of, you know, you didn't know what you were doing, so you were kind of making it up on the spot? Like what does it feel, what feels raw when you go back and hear that?
I think it's the rawness of like there's so many things, and this is the part of having like a digital footprint that you have to be very careful, not even careful, but accountable for, because there are so many things that I said in those early episodes that I categorically do not agree with today. Like do not. And I can take accountability and responsibility for that. And I have no shame in saying, yeah, there's things that I don't agree with. And I think that was, not that I think it's shit, I just don't agree with it. For example, I think in probably one of the very first episodes I did about friendships, I said, I was a bit like, cut them all off, get the scissors out, fuck them all off. And then I think actually in that episode, I did be a little bit more logistical and was a bit like, but there are, you know, this is that. And then now listen back to it, I think, oh my gosh, now fucking hell, maybe I should pull that one. But I'm not going to pull it because that was how I felt at the time, because I was angry and it was so raw.
It's interesting that, because obviously this is the first time that you're kind of sitting down, you're telling the story of what's happened to you, to your mum, to your family. You know, you're exposing yourself and you're being completely vulnerable in that moment. That sense of vulnerability, that sense of openness, you know, you were obviously driven to that by the circumstances, but what was it that made you decide that a podcast was the thing that was for you? A podcast was the way that you were going to find your community?
Oh, great question. Because the podcast came after the start of the Instagram, but it was like actually launching it. But it was the first idea, that my first actual idea was to do the podcast. And I speak about it in the story, but I just loved podcasts. I loved what podcasts did to me and where it would take me, and where even to this day, I get fixated on a podcast and then it'll break for a season. I'm like, oh, I'm obsessed and I need my fix. And to know then that like people feel like that about my podcast, insanity to me. I'm like, oh my God. Like I always say, I can't believe you lot enjoy this drivel coming out of my mouth. I cannot still, but then they're like, it's not. And I'm like, I cannot believe you enjoy this. And it was out of that. I was so obsessed that summer in my deepest, darkest mental well-being. I turned to podcasts and like, I would sit on my bed for hours, just listen to like the funny podcasts, just trying to give me some respite. And I just started, yeah, looking for, oh, I wonder if there's anything on grief on here. And that just spiraled. It just spiraled there. And I always find it so funny. The when I sat there and I said to Joe on holiday, I said, I think I'm going to start a podcast. And he went, what? He's like, what the fuck? I said, yeah. I said, I was quietly doing like bits of research while we're just on the sun lounges. And I said, basically, you know, I love podcasts anyway. I went searching for one on grief and I found a fair few, but I weren't really resonating. And I said, and I've got this burning need. And I said, it's so unlike me. I'm a lazy bitch by nature, right? Just scrape through school. If I saw a problem, right, I'd go, that's not my fucking problem. Someone else can deal with it. I'm lazy by nature. And so in that moment when I felt like I really felt, no, I have to do this, and not in some kind of superior of like, I'll be the one to save the day, just of, it just started bugging me, really bugging me. And I tried to shake it a bit, and I was like, I've got to see where this could go, or just give it a go and see.
Do you feel that what you're giving the community, is there anything more that you think? Is there a development of the Grief Gang podcast? Does this go somewhere else? Like, or are you quite with what you're doing?
So you asked me what's the 5-year plan?
Maybe not what's the plan.
It's such a, because there was no plan for Grief Gang, there was no plan. I never set out and went, okay, I'm going to do a podcast and I'd like to go here. I just went, I just want to talk to people. I just want to talk to people, and that is it. And I was speaking with somebody about it the other day, and they were like, do you find this hard? And do you find doing this work that you do hard and immersing yourself in such quite heavy work? And I said, I'm so fascinated by people and human beings and how we tick and how we cope and how we don't, that if that goes, then I know, then I would probably wouldn't try. I said, but for now, I'm so fascinated, just the power of conversation and meeting new people and hearing their stories and seeing someone's face light up when I say, oh, what was your person's name? Just listen. That is all I can do, is give the mic and say, listen. I'm so fortunate for this place to grow and it to become a platform, and if I can do good and say to someone, here, tell me your story, because I know there's gonna be at least one other person who's listening who is going to hear and see themselves in your story.
So it is about that community. Everything is about that community. Everything is about sharing a story so that somebody else can relate to that. You know, I mean, obviously, I don't want to, this is your podcast about you.
You can plug the charity. It's fine.
What we do. You know, the new normal, that's what our work is about. You know, we've always said if there's two, it is about connecting those two people in the world to know that there is the support, there is that empathetic person there who can help them, can empathize with them, can understand what they're experiencing to some varying degree, and can say, do you know what, we're here together. And like, that's so important. And
I mean, well, before we go forward, like, I, as much as Joe's saying you plug the charity, like, to this day, when people say to me, you didn't even say what the name was. Ben is the co-founder of TNN Charity, the New Normal Charity. And if you are a long-standing listener, or if you have gone back in the archives and still working your way through, do go back to season one. My God, you guys were really early on. Like, you were honestly, I think you were like episode 17. Like, you were really, really early on.
Yeah.
And yeah, go back and listen to that and you'll hear all about how we guys met. But from that day, I've never left TNN left... but I still, to this day, when people anybody messaged me on Grief Gang, any platform, and they're looking for, even if they don't even say I'm looking for a support group or something, if someone says I'm just trying to find people, I'm like, okay, well, you found me and I'm here for you, but if you need more, TNN. And I would say, I literally saved my life.
So I want to move away from my questions for a minute, because you know, you put out to your lovely followers and your listeners to kind of ask questions. And there was one question in particular that stood out for me, because I know how I felt when my dad passed away and kind of what it did to me. So I wanted to ask, how did grief affect your sex drive?
Oh, fuck me. You know, you didn't go in for that, one of the nice light-hearted ones first. You know,
we warmed you up with some of my questions.
True. My God. So whoever wrote this in, thank you. And these were all sent in anonymously. I did like an anonymous tag thing. That it's really good when you do add that anonymity. People, it's like anemone.
You're good with words, aren't you?
I'm so good with words, isn't it? After 3 years, I still can't string a sentence together. But yeah, how did grief affect my sex drive? My gosh, well, so I was 19 at the time, and
Joe and I had been together for, 3 years by that point, and were, very prevalent in our sex lives. And it was quite, to be honest, like, mine was a bit interesting because, so when Mum died, our house at the time, it was still a two-bed. It was a three-bed. My brother, his bedroom was downstairs because he was never really home. So they did, like, an extension and he lived downstairs. So when Mum died, my room was the biggest bedroom in the house at the front. And then, Mum's bedroom was to the side. And so then my brother had, Mum died, he's moving back in, his partner's moving back in. And it was like, well, they can't live in their like shoebox room downstairs. Like, we need to do some adjusting, right? And so he was like, I'm taking your bedroom. I was like, no, you're fucking not. He's like, yes, I am. I literally woke. So at this point, I was like sleeping in my mum's bed for comfort. And like Joe would, but we were like no. I said, darling, I was like, I want to fuck, I do. I said, but I cannot fuck in my mother's bed. I was like, until we move my bed in here, I don't think we can do it. So that was probably about 3 weeks. 3 weeks I was celibate, probably the longest celibacy I've ever taken in my life. And then, moved into, okay, we've moved now into my mum's bedroom. All my stuff's in there, my bed and whatnot. But even then, it's still my mum's bedroom. Like, the wallpaper is still hers and stuff. And it was interesting. So, although, I was like, no go, not fucking in the beds. Once we'd moved everything and changed it to my stuff, I don't really remember a time when it really dampened the sex. There were definitely times when, maybe not my sex drive, but my, what's the fucking word? Closeness. What's the word? Intimacy. There were times when I didn't even want to look at Joe. Didn't want to be hugged by him. Didn't want to be touched by him. Just wanted to repel him just because... I don't even know, just because I just did not want to be near. I was such a raging fireball, such a raging fireball that I just was like, oh, just everyone just fuck off and leave me alone.
So I always think about this, right? And this is one of the things that gets me all of the time. And when it was my dad's anniversary, I think I actually messaged you about it when people were just saying your dad would be so proud. I was like,
don't know him.
I really love all of you. And thank you so much for sending me a really nice message and being thoughtful. But you haven't got a fucking clue whether or not my dad would be proud. I don't know if my dad would be proud. Half the time I think my dad wouldn't have a fucking clue what I was talking about if I tried to explain it to him. So, but on his anniversary in particular, it was really hard trying to hear that this year, which was very, very strange. It was a very strange feeling. But what do you think your mum would think of this? Do you think that, because often I think, you know, someone like yourself, right, you've gone out, you've created a podcast, you've built a real big community around you. You've obviously got something, you know, that charisma, that spark. People really love you. They like you. It's amazing.
You like me.
I'm so incredibly surprised by but obviously, you know, your mum would have seen that in you, would have known that side of you to create this. So what do you think that she would think of the Grief Gang, and what do you think she would, do you think that she would feel pride at watching you do this?
Yeah, so interesting. Interesting you even asking then, like, you're like saying like mum would have known this, like, kind of charismatic, like, bubbly, fucking batshit sides of me. But then I think actually in a way, I don't know if she actually did. I feel like where I was so young, and I often think about, my gosh, who would I have been if my mum was still here today? Before my mum died, right, my mum used to take the piss out of me, or actually like shout at me, because we'd watch like really sad movies together and I would not cry at all a bit. And she used to call me the stone cold bitch. So I was very insensitive before my mum died. Not like an arsehole, like a friend was crying, like, oh, get up off the floor. But I mean, probably a few times I've definitely given tough love. But I was not as in tune with my emotions or even as expressive as I was now. And I look at how my mum was. My mum could cry at the drop of a hat. And it's so interesting. Thinking back to pivoting, my mum was raised by her nanny. And my God, she grieved her until her dying day. And she died like 20 years prior. And so interesting to see how I grieve and how... how much I cry at the drop of a hat now, or anything, like the nationwide adverts on the telly, I cry at that. Like, it's just drop of a hat. But it's interesting, yeah, to think, like, I wonder, yeah, if she did know, she probably, you know your kids. I think she would be proud. I think she would be worried. I think she'd be worried about me. If anything, going off how like my dad is, I know they are two very, very different people. Before my dad's first reaction when I started this, he was like, I'm really worried that you're about to take on how many other people hear as many people's stories or something when you're like basically still trying to grapple with your own. And I think I said to him, I said, but dad, I need to hear these other people's stories to understand my own. I was like, this is what I need. And I think, yeah, my mum would be really, really fucking proud. And I, when it says about my mum, like my mum was like community personified, and I'm not saying that's me, but to have such a wonderful community, and to like, for me, the biggest thing is people just feeling like warm and welcome around me. And whenever I receive a message, I thought like just listening makes me feel like I'm just sat with a friend.
Here's a good question, actually, Amber, from one of your listeners or your followers, that I think is really important for you to say, because it's also important to remember just how hard and heavy this work can be sometimes. So do you ever find that this work, it takes a toll on you? Because I remember a time when you and I sat down, and I think it was before series two, maybe, or series three, where you were really unsure of how it was going to look going forward. So can you talk to me about that period? Do you remember how that felt, and
God,
the toll that kind of, because that was about, you know, that was about the heaviness of this work, right?
Yeah.
How did that feel to you?
I remember that time. I remember calling you and I was in distress. My fucking God, yeah, that was hard. That was at a time when the parts of when it's taken a toll on me with this is...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I think not more, I'm not going to say not more, but I think it's the scale at what it has grown at.
Yeah.
And I just was not anticipated for it. And then as it grew, I felt this more responsibility. And I've gotten better with it today of kind of not letting the responsibility, because I do, although this is my podcast and my page and my words and my stories, I understand there is an element of responsibility for the people who are engaging and listening. And safeguarding to a degree. And so it was that I felt, oh my God, it's now no longer just like a couple of people just listening or watching or reading. There's a lot of people here. And more so, like, my grief is really now on this telescope. Yeah. And everyone can see it and more people are reading it. And it's just more open for spectacle. But in terms of, yeah, does this work take a toll on me? And actually, yeah, in reading people's stories and listening to them, yeah, there was a time when it was really hard because I was so, because I didn't put any boundaries in place with myself and with the community. And I got to find it really difficult to almost put these boundaries in place with my community because I had quite a negative connotation to boundaries of that. Boundaries, when you have to put a boundary and it's quite a bad thing to do. And I was actually like, no, it's not. It's such a really good thing to do. And how, and boundaries aren't for other people. They are for you to do. So I'm not coming in and saying, none of you can ever DM me again, telling me your story. None of you can ever comment really vulnerable and raw things that I'm sure to wake up to. Not, I'm not policing you and how you grieve and how you want to navigate around this page or this podcast, but I have to police myself and boundary myself of, okay, Amber, when you're logging onto the Instagram today, are you in the right mind frame to be potentially absorbing maybe stuff that's really triggering and upsetting? One, something that's maybe going to really engross you, and are you ready to go in a place to hear and absorb all these people's stories and feelings and opinions, whatever it may be? And finally coming to a place of that, and that took time. So like, it's really daft, but like, for example, I would sit every night and like go through my DMs, and they, I get through them and then they pile back up again. And before I'd be like, oh my God. And then I was like, actually, no, this is, I'm really grateful for this. That so many people want to talk and want to share and want to engage. But I said, but I have to find a happy medium here. So I was like, I'm going to go through them twice a week on a Monday and a Friday. I will sit and I will trawl through, and then I can actually dedicate myself to the message and the people, and I can actually be present. Whereas before, I was so overwhelmed with it all and just trying to balance everything and try and do justice by everybody and do a good job by everybody, that everything was dropping. And so when I put boundaries in with myself, everything has come up roses. And I went away in the summer before this, yeah, this season, and it was my first holiday abroad in, yeah, like 2 years, and I came back and I was like, I know exactly what I want and how I want to implement it, what's both good for me and my community.
The big lesson that you've learned then is about your own mental well-being, is about being overwhelmed. So I think when we go back to that conversation that we had a couple of years ago, that's about you being overwhelmed by what's happening to the grief gang, by you being overwhelmed by the amount of people that are engaging with you and by the stories. And so then it's a case of learning about your boundaries. So, taking that, would you say that the grief gang has taught you how to take care of yourself better? So not only have you been able to create a community, but you've also been able to learn for yourself what you need and how better to take care of your own mental well-being.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, probably, yeah, like the trickier way of having to kind of, I don't say hit rock bottom, but yeah, to hit burnout and to sit and reflect of like, why the fuck am I here? And it has, grief gang has taught me so much, not only about my grief and just reading and listening to other people and thinking, and it's so thought provoking, just reading someone's comments or something. It just makes you think in a different way. But as much as it's, yeah, helped and assisted and changed my grief, it's, yeah, absolutely changed my well-being in the ways that even I navigate through social media, just as a general moving through that. And it's, yeah, been a godsend. And it's hard. It's, sometimes you can slip back into old routines and old just things, and that is social media. But having those sturdy boundaries in place, things like only checking the DMs twice a week, only doing seasonal podcasts now. So before, I was like, the first season was 32 episodes because I was like, I'm just going to go weekly forever. Not sustainable at all. I had no help. And like, as of today, from this point, I'm so fortunate and so grateful that I now have a team of like, I've got Ross, Scarlett, Lorna, Anne-Marie, and Insung, like team of five people that have come forward and said, I love what you do and I want to help. And without them, this ship would not be floating still. Because, and that's why I think when I was calling you, I was like, I'm so overwhelmed, because I could see the journey for Grief Gang and see everything I wanted to do for the community and to make it better and to provide more stuff. I'm constantly thinking about what can I next do for the community. Almost, and people say like, you're always in service. My love language is acts of service. And I was really trying to, so my love language is giving back and doing something for a community and for a society and giving a service.
Yeah. And do you know, listening to you speak as well, you know, there are reflections of my experiences with the new normal, your experiences. You know, for me, I'm not always the best at enacting things. I can be creative and I can have ideas, but quite often, like, I think I have ADHD, you know, so I get distracted quite easily.
Yeah.
So I need the other people around me to be able to kind of see through some of my plans and some of my ideas. And
absolutely. The other eyes, and you can be like just thinking out loud, and that's why I'm so grateful for people. Just even like in the community, I think I've got this idea, but I just don't like the grief gala. The grief gala wasn't for us, just like a little speck of an idea. We just spoke about it, and then we just had other people sharing their ideas and their thoughts, and then being there on the night and being like, oh my god, remember this was just like a random voice note in our chat, and just now look at it, here we are, and just need that eyes and hands on deck to go, we can do this. Like, we can do it. It's not unattainable. We can do this and take it to the highest of heights. We can do it.
Just to be clear as well, like, it was one of the numerous voice notes that you send unnecessarily that are far too long.
Do you know what? There's no one. Like, I'm a serial voice note. I'm a serial. For God's sake, you should know this. I'm a podcaster.
So everyone in your life has to suffer, is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah. Bar Joe, because Joe just doesn't listen to them.
Yeah, well, you're getting dangerously close to me not listening to them. You see, the one that you sent me yesterday that was 2 minutes long, and there was no reason for it.
I know. I sent it, and I knew, he's just going to be like, you could have literally sent that a text. But sometimes my hands are full, and I've been texting all day, and I can't be bothered.
God, when you were speaking earlier and you were speaking about, you know, some of the things that kind of you can take away from this podcast, from starting this podcast, from, you know, the community, from the boundaries that you've learned, from learning about your own mental health and well-being, and like also sort of like listening to people's experiences and how that will have helped you through your own experience with your mum and ultimately the people that you've met as a consequence. You know, I think of people in your life, like Poppy, for example, what a person Poppy has become.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of that being said, what would be the one thing, if someone was coming to listen to your podcast for the first time, what would be the one headline thing that you would want them to take away, having got from your podcast? What would you want? What was it that you went looking for? And what was it that you would want those people to have?
It's so cringy, but the word is hope. It's so cringy, but yeah, it probably makes me emotional because I was in such despair when I started, and I was just looking for hope and hope that there was life after loss. And I even hate that term of life after loss, but I said, when I was listening to those podcasts and the ones that they were very clinical and very professional, I was like, I'm not hearing somebody who's like laughing, who's maybe a bit further down the line or is still in the trenches with me, but they've got hope and they can laugh and they can cry all in the same breath. And they're holding on to however much that hope that there is a life worth living after this horrific loss in their life, and a good one at that, not just any poxy life, a good life worth living. And now when people message, and I remember there was one really significant time when Poppy and I were doing our Instagram lives in the middle of lockdown. And as you know, lockdown was different things with many different people. And Poppy and I just went, fuck it, we'll just start doing some Instagram lives every week. And didn't we? Oh, that's such a fond time of my life. And me and Poppy started those Instagram lives as strangers. And now to this day, like, can't say yet, but yeah, things are happening. And I'll never forget, there was one specific message that a girl messaged us afterwards and said, I've just lost my person, I think to COVID, and I've randomly hopped onto your live, just tuned in, and seeing you two belly laugh has given me hope that I will one day laugh again. And it absolutely set me west like it does now, because the thought of like someone coming onto a live and or listen to a podcast and going, just hearing you made me, even though right now it can't, it's not an immediate fix. I know that it's not an immediate fix, and people walk away and go, ah, but knowing and listening, oh, there's this girl who lost her mum, or she interviewed this lady who lost her baby, and this man who lost his wife, and I'm listening to them talking, and they sound okay. They're doing okay. They're doing more than okay. They're laughing. They're joyful. They've maybe found love again. They found joy. They've had a child. They've had a rainbow baby, whatever it may be. And they find hope.
So it's the hope that's what you want people to take away from your podcast. That's what you want people to find when they hear your podcast. So, you know, I'm going to ask you one final question.
Mm-hmm.
We've got series 4 coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're in it.
We all know that I'm not in it, and that's a shame for you all.
No, I mean, like, we're in it right now. Season 4.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I mean,
it's like the third episode of season 4 this is.
Well, thank God I made it in.
I know. Look, I'll find a topic and I'll rope you in somewhere.
So what is it that people can expect from the rest of this series? You know, you've got some exciting guests coming up. Is there an episode specifically that you're really excited about recording or that you have already recorded?
Oh, it's so good. Do you know what? Right. With each season, I feel like only now have I actually found my formula of like what I like and honestly and truly my confidence with podcasting. And for some, they might be like, you were struggling with confidence. I'm like, I know, I'm a cocky bitch. I know. Sometimes it's all persona. Sometimes it's, well, more I am confident. But with podcasting, because I've never done it before, I've not had no blueprint before. It was like, so like season 1 was just like, let's just see what the hell this is about. And hence why it went on for 32 episodes. Then it had like a year break. Yeah, so then pandemic came and I was like, I don't know what to do. Didn't record anything. Started drip feeding season 2. So I was like, okay, we're back in it again. Season 2 went through that way. And then season 3, just gone, was like, I'm happy. I'm finding my formula. I'm just getting back to consistency. And now I've had the break, like an actual break, and gone, right, let's listen, let's do feedback, and what most brought you joy. And not in the nicest way possible, like to the audience, not like, oh, what did you guys all enjoy? Because I'll take it on board. But at the end of the day, if it's something that I'm sitting recording thinking, not really enjoying that, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it just for the numbers. I'm never going to do anything just for the numbers, just for the likes, just for the audience, or just for the audience, like just for the audience reach. Not going to do it. I, very kind and gently, I don't care for the really big, big, big names on the podcast. I care about the conversation. And if that comes from a big name, then yes. I care for the actual authentic and honest conversation and not the person who, not don't care for them, but I've got something I want to talk about. I want to talk about if somebody's going to give me their all as well, because I'm going to give them my all too. And so the thing that's going to set this season aside from everything else and probably in the future and setting the way is that this season I'm stepping out of my comfort zone a lot more. I'm interviewing people from different losses and asking the questions and the topics at hand that like really are not spoken about when it comes to grief. And instead of just going down the angle of like, come on, share your story and that's it, I want to ask them a specific thing at hand, go, what do you really think about that? How does that make you feel? How do you relate to that? And so really deep diving into this, a lot more like research. It's basically a lot more professional this season. I'm actually like doing the work. It's a lot more, it's actually just a normal podcast, a normal established podcast now. Yeah. It's not some shoddy podcast no more. It's, yeah, definitely more time is taking it. So I've now realized, you know, you put the time into it, my gosh, what you will get out of it. And I think, yes, people can expect a lot more in detail topic episodes, and not just it being stories. Of course, somebody will tell their story to set the scene and why they're relating to the topic, but a lot more deep dives and into topics that can be really like, oh, don't know if you should be talking about that. And ones that, yeah, just ones that are like that, that kind of, we're all thinking it, but someone just wants to talk about it. And I think if there's one episode that I will highlight for people to keep their eyes and ears peeled for, and this will probably come out after this one, maybe 3 weeks after, it's about prolonged grief disorder. And I am sitting down with a psychologist who both has, obviously from that side, is bringing from that world, but then she has also lost her mother too. And when I've been speaking with her and chatting with her, she's like as a professional, yes. As a bereaved person, no. So it's, I'm really fascinated to get into that with it, with her, and really give a balanced argument, a balanced view on stuff, not just be singing from all from the same hymn sheet, because that's what I feel like I was doing before. Maybe just, not that I've ever sat here and said what I'm saying is gospel, but I can understand why some people might listen and might think, oh, well, she said this, maybe, but to actually give a fair argument and a fair point to everything. Because I know that, like, for the PGD episode, Prolonged Grief Disorder, I know there'll be people, if I was to sit here and say, well, I think it's a crock of shit, I know there's going to be somebody who's listening who potentially has it. And how invalidating for that person to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
To hear that, okay, I might not agree with it, she thinks it's a piece of shit, but she's being fair and she's listening to people who do think it is and why they think it is. And why does Amber think it's a piece of shit and why? Let's have the open, adult, honest conversation. So yeah, a lot more open conversations, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to finally found the formula after 3 years.
Well, I mean, I'm pleased that you finally found it.
That, no,
means,
no.
That means that I can start tuning in at last.
Oh, leave off. And you've just lost your place on season 4.
Well, it's late because we've already recorded this, so unless you're going to go and
be- I know, yeah, exactly, yeah, actually you're not probably going to be coming back for at least season 6 now, because,
yeah, well, fair enough,
we can't have you twice in one season.
I've got nothing interesting to say anyway. Well, look, Amber, it's been lovely to, you know, be able to record this. I'm really, really grateful that you asked me to do it. You know, it's been a wonderful journey to watch you on. As you say, like, we met you in series 1, here you are, you know, in series 4, 3 years later. I think you're doing a fantastic job. I think the community that you've built is absolutely wonderful, and I'm really excited to see how you continue to grow that and to build that, to see what you do in this, in you know, in this work, in this world. And I know that there's a significant amount of people that are listening who are equally as excited to see what you do next. So happy birthday, and thank you very much for talking to us today.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Thank you. So very grateful for our friendship, even though it's just us ripping each other to shit most of the time. But very thankful for that cold day in February when you rocked up late, not surprised, with your bike to Devonshire Square. And we did that interview, and here we are. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining me, as always. Grief Gang is three. I couldn't tell you where the last 3 years have gone. God, yeah, I had a second there just reflecting on everything. It honestly is, like I said in the beginning and throughout this episode, it is just the greatest gift that came out of something so tragic in my life, and to be able to do something that I'm so passionate and dedicated to is like just the best, given that it's such a tricky topic and sometimes can be a heavy topic. It's fascinating that I've truly found something that gives me my get up and go, and you all allow me to do that every time you tune in every single week. So thank you so much, as always, for being here, whether you've been here from the beginning or you've just found the Grief Gang podcast and community. I love you all, and long may Grief Gang continue. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.